Take out your Bibles if you guys would this morning. And today, as we mentioned, is our last message on this topic. We called it strong, having stability in Christ and being unshaken in the midst of crisis. And I want to go right over to our first slide this morning, which is talking about our topic, which is the supremacy of Christ, and this time in ministry. And I want to throw out to us, you know, God hasn't just called us to save us for the future, but he's called us and saved us to minister now. And we're going to take a look at that thought today, what the Apostle Paul teaches us. I want to go right to our eternal truth this morning. And I want to kind of digest this as this is our last time that we'll really think about this in the message in the morning service. But this whole thought is believers are strong when they are being equipped, edified, and encouraged. And I don't know about you, this equipping process, this building up process, this need of encouragement is something that we need every single day. And the foundation for life for us as believers in Christ is the complete supremacy or preeminence of Jesus Christ over everything. And I want to throw that out for a second. You know what? Whatever you came in with this morning, whatever issue you have, problem you have, concern you have, fear you have in Christ, we can overcome that. And that's what God wants us to understand. And, you know, Christ's supremacy gives me endless hope, adequate resources for whatever issues arise, and courage to face the challenges of life with God's power and provision. And today I want to kind of focus us, and I want to stop for a second. When you look at this passage, it's the very last 11 verses of this book. It's the final greetings. Paul's talking to everybody. When you read your Bible a lot of times, what do we do with these kind of passages? We just kind of blow through them real fast, right? You know, they're not incredible ones. Like you read Psalm chapter 46, and it says, you know, be still and know that I'm God. You know, and that just resonates with us. This is not one of those resonating passages, maybe so much, but there's a lot here for us, and we're going to kind of take this apart today a little bit to think about how God looks at ministry in his church. And by the way, every single member is really supposed to be a minister. The minister isn't just the guy who has the rev title or stands up here on Sunday, but we're all supposed to be servants of each other and of the Lord as we do that. So what we want to think about this morning is this. You know what? God in his sovereignty and in his supremacy, he's given his church team ministries. And get that word in your mind. Team ministries. We just thanked our praise team. We have a youth team. We have an Awana team. We need more people to join the teams. We have a food ministry team. You know, we have all these different groups of people because the task of ministry cannot be done by one person. I praise God, and I said this as I prayed today, talked about Sirlene. I praise God that you guys call each other, that you guys care for each other, that you guys drive for each other, that you guys make sure each other is doing fine, because with the number of people that we have, it would literally be impossible for me as one person or any one person to do that. We try really hard, but it's not enough. And I want to encourage you guys, this thing about team is so important. So God in his sovereignty has given his church team ministries in which ministry partners with different gifts work together to accomplish God's will and purpose in a specific location and time. And I want to say this, you know what? God has called this ministry team at First Baptist, all of you, for this place and this time. And I want to get this in your minds today. I know sometimes we bemoan this. People that were here, they were here for a place and a time, and God used them. Some have been promoted to glory. Some are going other places. God has moved some, retired some. They're out there. But we are called for this specific place and this specific time to do ministry as a team. And Paul, by the way, as he talks about all these brothers and sisters, that's what he's thinking about. We're going to kind of dive into that this morning as we go on. So we're going to go right to the next slide. And I want to just take a quick moment this morning, and we're going to go right past that one, Sarah, if you would. I want to go right to this idea of revisiting the supremacy of Christ. And I want to get you guys, just real quick, this is what this book is all about. This is going to drive this home. Christ is supreme over all things. So if you came in today with an issue, God has the answer. Jesus is the answer. We sing that song, right? He really is the answer, and he's going to empower us and help us to get through. The second thing is, God doesn't look for us to be perfect, but he does expect us to grow. And in this book, God gives us very specifically, here's some of the changes I want you to make in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up for a second. How many times has one of us said, I can't change? We really should change the words, I won't change. But we can change. You maybe can't change physically, but in the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can change, we can grow, we can be different, we can be better, we can be God's people here on earth. And I put this in this idea, partnering in the power of the Holy Spirit. Change takes us to work with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change us in our spirit and in our soul. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I just want to just remind us very quickly this morning, we're going to go to the next slide, and I want to bring up just kind of the key verse of this whole book, and here it is, and Sarah's going to just share that with us this morning. Just kind of get your minds around these verses for a second. This is the supremacy of Christ. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And by the way, that doesn't mean he's the first one in time. It means he is the one who is supreme, sovereign, in control of everything in creation. It says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the first one that rose from the dead and stayed rose. Lazarus died, right? And that he might have the preeminence. So I just want to stop for a second. We use this phrase a lot. We say God, or in this case, Jesus Christ, is our creator. He's our savior, and he's also our sustainer. So he created us. He knows the details about you that no one knows. He saved us. He willingly gave his body and shed his blood that God might have an eternal relationship with us in heaven and beginning it on earth. He literally did that. He rose from the dead and stayed alive. See that at the right hand of the throne of God. He did all those things. And he's the one that holds it all together. And I'll throw it out to you guys, as I look at the world around me, sometimes, man, I'm so glad somebody's holding it together because it seems like it's about to come apart. Amen to that, right? It's about to come apart, it looks like. So that's who the Lord is. And I want to say this. Get that in your minds. In this book, that's what we're talking about. Jesus Christ is supreme over all things. You got an issue? There's where we're going to go with it. He can help us. And I want to move down just to the second part of that. And Sarah, help me with that if you would today. We're going to move down to the next slide. And it says, and it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Everybody step back for a second. Jesus isn't a little God. Jesus is the Son of God, but Jesus is 100% God. All the fullness of God dwells in him. There's nothing that's not in him. And check it out. It says, and by him, he to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Everybody look up for a second. We've all said this. Maybe we feel like it's us. Somebody say, I don't know how this person could ever be saved. The answer is Jesus. His blood was powerful enough to save all of us. It can save anybody. There's nobody too far, nobody too difficult, nobody too hard that God can't save them. And he makes that point so clear in this passage. And I'm just going to kind of stop there. So we get this idea in our minds, right? The supremacy of Christ. He is over everything. He can help us in everything. And by him, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we want to walk away from Colossians with that in our mind, because you know and I know today or tomorrow we're going to be faced with something that seems overwhelming that we can't handle. And that's where we got to go to Jesus for that, to help for that. So we want to move along right now today to the next part. And I'm going to bring us right into where we are this morning. And Sarah, help us with that if you would. And we want to just stop and think for a second. And remember I said this, there's this partnership that needs to happen in us, right? And the Lord commands us, and he says, seek those things above, set your mind on those things. And the idea of seeking, remember we studied, was devote some serious effort, partner with the Holy Spirit so that your life can be changed. And that's what we want to think about this morning. We're going to go right to the next slide. This is a little bit of a review. Partner with the Holy Spirit to do that. So we want to go right away to the next one there, Sarah, if you would. And we want to take a look at this. And the Lord in chapter 3, verses 12 to 17, he tells us exactly what he wants us to do. Put on all these things. Take off the flesh. And we'll go to a more colorful version of that. And Sarah, just advance that for me. Remember, he told us to put on tender mercy, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. These things are countercultural. We need to put them on and take off the flesh. He continued, and I want to go to the next slide. He continued with that, and look what he said. He says, not only those, put on love. And he says, above all things, put on love. That selfless, sacrificial concern, affection, and action toward one another for their good. And then he said these words, and by the way, I've been trying to practice, especially this first one. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I know the water all around you is, you know, crazy. You know, as I watched we had that storm Fiona pass by us this weekend. And they said the Jersey Shore waves were anywhere from 2 to 8 foot tall. They said, don't go in the water. Sometimes in life, we feel like we shouldn't go in the water, but we're stuck. We're in the water, right? We're there. And I want to encourage us in the midst of all those things, let God's peace rule in our hearts. And you know what? If we're going to make it through, we got to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Let God's word just dwell in us and do all the things that we do. Everything we do, we've got to say, is this going to bring glory to Jesus? If it isn't, don't do it. If it is, do it with your passion. Do those things. And that's what Paul wanted us to do. That's where Colossians is kind of driving us. So we want to go right to the next slide. So that brings us to where we are this morning. Remembering and appreciating our ministry partners. Write this word down on your page, by the way. Our ministry partners are those who are co-workers in the ministry that God has given us. Everybody look up for a sec. Has God given all of you a ministry? What is it? Say it real loud. What is it? It's two words. Make disciples. And in doing those two things, you will bring glory to God. Make disciples. That's what God wants us to do. So Paul, as he stops and thinks about this, remembering and appreciating our ministry partners, first thing he says is, let me share with you the team that was at Colossae. And by the way, I want to say this. Some of the people came and they went on because they were itinerant or they were doing other ministries. Some of them stayed. But he said, let me tell you about the team that was there. And then I want us to think about today just a little bit about that. What was the qualities of that team? And what can I take away this morning? So I want to go right to the passage, and Sarah will take us there right now. And by the way, that's some of our team at the beach this summer. So we start out, by the way, anybody know anybody named Tychicus? By the way, it's, what a good guy. Be some, great something to name your kid or your grandchild after Tychicus, right? You could call him Ty for short, right? That would fit our culture, right? But this guy is amazing, right? And we had this passage. Ed read this passage. He says, Tychicus, he's a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. And then, I, as you can see, by the way, look at in yellow, you can kind of pick out the names. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Epaphras, Demas, and Nymphas. They're kind of all listed. But I guess you have to have an A-S on the end of your name, right? Except for Mark. We stole that off his name. But they're all there. These are the guys, right? And Paul makes this statement. He says, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. So what I want to share with you guys, big picture, is some of these people are Jews, so they share the same heritage growing up. They had the word of God. They had the law. They had an understanding. They worshiped together at the temple. They did the sacrifices. They did all those things before they came to Christ. They have a very common background. And you know what? Some of them are Gentiles. And we use that word, Gentiles. And that word, by the way, we kind of loosely say those are everyone who is not a Jew, but it means the word nations. It's everybody else. If you're not from Israel or not in Jewish descent, you're a Gentile. So those people are different. They think different than Paul. Their background is different, but they're part of this team, this body. And we're going to kind of look at that as we kind of dive into that this morning. So I want to take a moment this morning. I want to shoot right on down to the next slide. And I want you guys just to stop and think about, and I'll print this for you guys if you can't get this. By the way, if you have a blank piece of paper, you can kind of try to jam this into your outline today. This is the team. Here they are. So we want to write down their names for a second. So Tychicus is the first guy. Jot it down. These are some important things. We're going to try to draw some conclusions from this today. So his name, by the way, he's mentioned five times, and his name means literally chance. Like it's a chance, possibility. His name is Tychicus, right? And I want to share with you a little bit about Tychicus, and I want to look at the text at the same time. I want you guys to notice in the text, look what Paul says about him. He says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. So there's some characteristics that jump out. And I want you guys to kind of get a hold. By the way, if you look in this text, you're going to see that several of these people, he says, they are beloved. What we're going to look at here in this context is this beloved team and their qualities. And we want to try to use them to kind of look at what we need to be as we think about who God calls us to be. So he says he's a beloved brother, he's a faithful minister, and he's a fellow servant in the Lord. He's going to tell you all the news about me. And I want to say this just very quickly. Where's Paul as he writes this letter, folks? He is in prison. He is in jail, right? So he is unable to share with the group at large what's going on. By the way, he's in prison in Rome, and he can't really easily get information to all of these churches. So he is dependent on these people to help him. And he says this about him. He says, Tychicus is a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he might know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. So when I think about this guy, here's what I think about. And by the way, Tychicus has been with Paul in all of his missionary journeys. He's been with Paul. He's worked with Paul. And just give you some facts about Tychicus. So Tychicus was one who experienced a shipwreck with Paul. He experienced multiple imprisonments with Paul. He experienced getting stoned with Paul. Man, he had a lot of fun, didn't he? He experienced a lot of stuff. And what I want to say about this guy is, and here's the word that jumps out, he's faithful. When the going got tough, he didn't go, he stayed. And I want to throw this out. In the Church of Jesus Christ today, the going is tougher than it's probably ever been. And what God is looking for is faithful people like Tychicus who are going to stay, who are going to be open to serve in the way that they're needed today. And he says that. And by the way, his job, and I kind of just tried to summarize these on one line. So he's a companion of Paul. And get this in your mind. He's a companion that stuck with Paul. And not only that, he's a courier. And you can write this other word down because it wouldn't fit to make these all one line today. He's a communicator. The idea of courier, you know, is a lot of times we have this idea of delivery. Well, guess what? He delivered. He delivered the letter to the Ephesians. He delivered the letter to Philemon, which we'll talk about in a second. And he delivered this letter, the book of Colossians, to Colossae and to Laodicea and to Hierapolis. He's a courier. He did all those things. Everybody look up for a second. He didn't send it via Federal Express, UPS. He took it by foot. Like he had to get it out there. Like it wasn't like an easy thing to do that. And he had to meet people that he didn't know. Maybe something he didn't even like. But he said, Paul said, get this out. Meet with these people. And he also said to these people, I want you to go. And I want you to find out how they're doing so you can tell me so I can pray. And I want you to comfort them. Everybody look up for a second. Here's the key thing, right? Just imagine if our leader is locked up. Imagine if it came to that in this country that our leader is in prison and he likely is not getting out. How does that make the team feel? Bad. Think about the questions on your mind. Are they going to come for me next? This is getting a little bit scary. Like the Church of Jesus Christ in America has not experienced persecution at that level. But think about all the thoughts that go through your mind when your leader gets locked up. And ultimately, by the way, is going to die. He's going to be martyred. His head is going to be separated from his body. Right? Think about how that all goes. So he's a companion. He's a courier. He's a communicator. He's faithful. And he's a servant. He doesn't say, well, that's not my job. He's a servant. He does what he said. I'm going to send him, and this is what he's going to do. And that's so huge. And that part I added, he's a comforter. So meet Tychicus. And I want to challenge us. Is there a Tychicus here? Hopefully, right? Hopefully God's got put a lot of Tychicus in our midst. By the way, His name is mentioned 5 times in the scripture. I won't give you all of them. You can Google it yourself, and it'll give you all the references on that. Onesimus is the next guy. And by the way, his name literally means useful. That's kind of a cool name, isn't it? Yeah, I'm useful. You know, I'm not just a bump on a log, as they used to say. Or I'm not just here existing, but I'm useful. So here's a couple things about Onesimus that we got to get a hold of. Look what Paul says. Let's look at the text. Go down. And he says, I'm going to send Tychicus with Onesimus. And by the way, what's the first thing he says about him? A faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. That's what he says. So, by the way, let me ask the question. Everybody look up. Trivia question. Bible knowledge question. Who is Onesimus? You know how, that's why we blow by these passages, because they don't really mean a whole lot. Yeah, guess what? Onesimus is a slave who escaped. He was owned by Philemon. Paul sent him back, and he wanted Philemon to forgive him, and apparently he did. And here's Onesimus now doing the work of God. And here's the interesting thing. He's a young guy, but he's still faithful. Like, he grew up fast. He grew in the Lord, and he was able to do what God wanted him to do at a very young age. So he's a companion of Paul. He's faithful. He's a courier. He's growing, but he's a slave. And everybody look up for a second. Get this in your mind. God's the one who picks who is on the team, not us. That was kind of a weak amen. Yeah, you understand why, though? Because why is the weak amen? You know why? Because we like to pick who's on the team. Right? You remember that? You remember like back in the day? You're on the, you know, whatever ball field you're on. You know, it's like, okay, we're gonna shoot. Who goes first? You know, 1, 2, 3, shoot. You know, and you had to pick a number. Whoever was going, had the highest number would pick first or whatever, right? And you hate to be the person who got picked last, because that means you were terrible at that sport. But you want to be the one who picks. You want to be the one in control, but God picks. And I want to throw this out. God uses everybody because God saves everybody from every background. Your background doesn't matter. What matters is Christ. Amen. Remember, and the book says what? That's all books about what? The supremacy of Christ. So in the supremacy of Christ, guess what? Slaves step up. And but he's not a slave anymore. He is a useful, as his name says, worker for God. So it's just kind of, by the way, doesn't God break all the molds? You know, we have this dream team idea in our mind. God's dream team, only God could dream of. But God empowers them and God uses them. So here's Onesimus. Here's this guy. By the way, got this book down. Broke down the book of Philemon. Philemon was his owner. Paul wrote a specific letter, by the way, delivered by who? Tychicus to Philemon and said, hey, Philemon, guess what? Guess who I'm here with? I'm here with Onesimus. And Philemon's probably like, argh. You can probably picture his face like, what? He's mine. Because by the way, slaves were property chattels. They weren't people, right? But in Jesus Christ, guess what? They're people saved by God, loved by God, called by God, used by God. Like God turns the whole thing over, right? And you know, as Paul writes the letter, the book of Philemon about Onesimus to Philemon, Philemon is called to forgive him. And God uses them. And I'll throw this out. God uses the forgiveness and the faithfulness of Philemon to impact and empower Onesimus. And this guy grows up quick in the faith. Look what happens. Let's look at the next guy, Aristarchus. It literally means best ruler. And we're going to read about him. Let's just go down. Let's skip down just a little bit to verse 16 there. I'm sorry, verse 10. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And I want to say a little bit about Aristarchus. What's that mean, he's a fellow prisoner? So here, by the way, and commentators and scholars are sort of baffled, but here's what it could mean, one of two things. Either Archippus is locked up with Paul in jail, or he voluntarily, because he loves Paul and is faithful and is his companion, has gone with him to jail and is meeting Paul's needs, caring for him, making sure he's fed. Because everybody look up for a sec. Jail in that day was not like jail now. You know, it wasn't three hots and a cot. You didn't get a cot and you didn't get no hot either. If you didn't get fed by people outside, you didn't get fed. Right? Jail was an awful, awful place, generally speaking. Maybe some exceptions, but generally speaking, right? So here's Aristarchus, right? And he puts himself, and just think about that for a second. Who in the church, by the way, look up. Who in the church would you go to jail for? You're not guilty. You didn't do anything. Who would you go to jail for? Your wives don't count. Think about it. Eunice, who would you go to jail for? Yeah, think about it, right? That's a big question. But this guy is, I'll throw this out, this is real Christianity, isn't it? And again, and that kind of thing, like we kind of blow by these passages. We don't really understand who these guys are. It's like, whoa, wait a second. So he is a faithful fellow prisoner, either voluntarily or he was put there because he was also preaching the gospel, but he's there. And he's a faithful companion. And by the way, he's a Jew. And that doesn't say too much about him, but there's Aristarchus. Let's come on down. How about the next guy, John Mark? He's the cousin of Barnabas. So he's got a good pedigree, as they say, right? You know, Barnabas, what's Barnabas known for? By the way, you know that word bar in Hebrew means son of, right? And he's called, his name he took was the son of encouragement. And he's the one who's encouraging everybody. He helped encourage Paul. He became Paul's partner. But guess what? John Mark killed the relationship. Paul and Barnabas separated, and it became Paul and Silas because John Mark was a failure. You know what he did? When the going got tough, the tough got going. He left. He left Paul. Paul's out there doing ministry, and John Mark said, I'm out. I did not sign up for this. I am out. O-U-T. And Paul said, you are, and don't come back. Right? By the way, that's what we do, right? We do the same thing. So here's John Mark, and by the way, Paul is commending him. And John Mark, who is, he's a Jew, he's a failure. Paul later on says, he's profitable. He says to the Philippians, send him to me, he's profitable. Paul forgives him, but here's one of these partners who's a failure. And I'm going to throw this out, everybody look up. Isn't it great when I look at the disciples and the people God used? He used people that are a mess like me. Didn't that give you hope? Anybody feeling like a mess today? Other than me. Anybody feeling like a mess? All right. Let's just be real, right? You know, and by the way, do we struggle? Do we grieve? Do we hurt? Do we doubt? Do we wonder? Do we say, I'm done with this. I'm done with those people. Those people are crazy. I'm not dealing with them anymore. And the answer is amen, amen, and amen. We do, right? So he's a mess, but God uses them to do great things. Because God takes messes and people that are unable to do it by themselves. God empowers them by his spirit, and God does something amazing that only God can do. Right? So there we see it there. Then there's another guy. How about this next guy? Jesus Justice. And that's kind of interesting. You know, his name is kind of interesting. He says about him, he says, and Jesus, who is called Justice, and he says, these are my only fellow workers. So who is this guy, Jesus Justice? By the way, his name literally, Jesus means Jehovah saves. You know, it was Joshua and Jewish. He's also faithful. But I'll throw this out. He is an unknown fellow worker. He's not mentioned any place else. You know, and like, by the way, in our world, don't we like to get mentioned? We like that. Sometimes don't we want to do things so that everybody could see us? But in the kingdom of God, our idea, we're not supposed to be lenses. We're supposed to be mirrors. We're supposed to reflect Jesus so everybody sees him. And I want to throw this out. If we're honest, right, and people see us as we are now, if they knew us before, they probably know it's got to be something miraculous that has happened. Isn't that true? Most of us, right, by the way, you know, maybe we had certain skills or we did certain things or we were smart in school, we were a good athlete, we were this, we were that. But if they saw you serving the living God the way we serve and the love that we have and the hearts that we have, people got to go, man, where did that come from? You know, I knew that person when they were, and you can fill in the blank, right? So here's Jesus Justice, right? He's this faithful, unknown fellow worker. And I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. The church is littered with faithful, unknown workers. But keep your head up. You know, but here's the good thing. When you stand before God, he is going to reward you with the crown of righteousness and other crowns because of your service, because God didn't miss it. We might have missed you here. God's not going to miss it. 1 Corinthians 3 talks all about that, that bema seat, that seat of Jesus Christ, that judgment seat. And then we got Epaphras. By the way, his name's kind of cool. Check out his name. It literally means lovely. It can mean handsome, you know, good looking. But I think I love taking that in a spiritual way. This guy is a lovely guy for God. And I'll throw this out. He is the founder of the church at Colossae. He's also the founder, likely, of the church at Laodicea, or Laodicea, however you say it. He's also the founder, likely, of the church at Hierapolis. You know, by the way, how many people knew about Epaphras before now? Much. Not much, right? We didn't know who he was, right? We don't know who is this guy? Who is this clown? What is he about? So he's the founder of all those things. But look what the Lord says about him through the words of the Apostle Paul. He says this. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, in other words, he's a Gentile, right? He's from Colossae. And then he says, He's a bondservant of Christ. And he greets you. And you know what that means? Everybody kind of just pop your head up for a second. What's that mean, bondservant of Christ? That means he willingly submitted himself when he didn't have to the service of God. And that's like an Old Testament analogy where a slave who was truly a slave and was set free by his owner said, I love my owner so much, I'm going to stay for life. And they would literally take, you guys familiar with this word, awl, like a sharp pointed object, and they would put a hole in their ear with the earring, signifying that this person forever would be a bond servant of their master. And we see this about Epaphras, right? This lovely guy who founded these churches. And I'm sure, by the way, it wasn't easy, but he said, you know what? He's a bond servant. And I want to throw out, what are some characteristics of a bond servant? It means that I willingly lay down my life. And I want to challenge us as the body of Christ. Is that us? Do we willingly lay down our lives for the cause of Christ? Or do we have this attitude, I'll do it, but I better get rewarded. I'll do it, but I hope I end up in the annual report with a picture. You know, I'll do it, but he said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And by the way, this guy is pretty much, until I'm reading about this and you're hearing about this, I don't know anybody named Epaphras, do you? I don't know any books written about him. But he is a godly guy, and he is part of the team, and he's a Gentile. Now, check out the next guy, Luke. And by the way, his name literally means from Lucania, or Lucania, probably a better way to say it, which, by the way, is in southern Italy. Luke, by the way, is a Gentile. We don't know all his whole story about where he came from. We know he wrote the book of Luke. We know he wrote the book of Acts, sort of the historical backbone of the New Testament. We know he was a physician, and people loved him. People loved him. Like, he had all this professional skill, but he was a man of God. Isn't that kind of cool? And he was a faithful companion. Everybody look up for a second. This guy was a faithful companion to Paul, and in his walk of life was probably more educated, had a position that people looked up to maybe more even than Paul as a Pharisee. He was a doctor. Yet he was humble, and he was a servant, and he was faithful in doing those things. So Paul recognizes him. You know, and again, that's what we're looking for in the body of Christ. And then the last guy we want to mention, and I'll come back and I'm going to apply this in a second, but the last guy we want to look at is this guy named Demas. Now, Demas, he failed. And he didn't fail before this. He failed after this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 talks about that. And it says he left because he loved the world. And I know, by the way, I know the world has a great attractional quality to it, doesn't it? I mean, I love to travel. I love what money can do. I love enjoyment. I love to eat. I love pleasure. We all love that, right? But we have to kind of temper that so that we can be bond servants of God. And Demas, and that this time, he tempered that. But I'm going to throw out to you, guess what? He fell. And that's kind of a warning to us, right? You could be part of the team. Even on the inside, you think about, by the way, who do we know that was part of Jesus' team on the inside who really failed? Judas. And if we don't take heed to ourselves, like Luke says in the book of Acts, we better watch out. We better watch out. But this guy, he was great, and he failed. He failed later on. So I want to stop for a second. I want to say, what do we take out of this today? So it's kind of neat to interesting to know about these guys, and I will publish that and give that to you guys. You can take a look at that later if you want to. What do we learn from this today? And I'm going to go to the next slide. What do we learn from that? Here's some takeaways. Here's some big takeaways, right? It's not just me. And we looked at this earlier on. We have this very me-centric way of looking at life, don't we? And I think about that. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was out for the day doing something and whatnot, and I was home. I was thinking about this idea. How much do I look at life about me? How much do I look at everything as sort of like, well, I do it, but it's uncomfortable for me? Or, you know, I look at this lens of me through this lens so much. And I think what Paul's trying to say to us here in the Church of Jesus Christ is, it's not just me. And it's not just you. And that needs to change. And then I want to step on the next point that I want to get a hold of real fast. When I look at that list, and I want to go backwards, Sarah, real fast for me, if you would. Go back one slide. When I look at that list for a second, all these, this whole crew, Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, John, Mark, Jesus, Justice, Epaphras, Luke, and Demas. When I look at this list, what do I see? I see some Jews, I see some Gentiles, I see some slaves, I see some free, I see all kinds of people. I see some professionals, and I see some people that are down in the trenches. But they're all part of God's team. And what I want to say about that, you know, is this, right? When I think about that idea, it's not about where we came from. It's not about our background. It's not about what we bring in terms of our skills here on earth. And let me just temper that with this. It's wonderful when we bring our earthly skills to the body of Christ. It's really wonderful. Those are great things. But that doesn't make you good or bad or used or not used by God. It's not our background. And Sarah, go with me to the next slide again. It's not our background, but it's all about Christ. Christ has supremely worked in our lives and changed us and made us who we are so that we can be fellow workers and companions and faithful and profitable. And we need to kind of get that in our minds. It's not our background. So I don't know how to do that. Don't worry. If God called you, people say this a lot, but if God called you, he will equip you. And everybody look up for a second. That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to give you all the skills. He might equip you with another person who has the skills you need. Can anybody think of an example of that? Moses and Aaron. Right? What did Moses say? I can't speak real good. God didn't say, you know, choo. And Moses wasn't speaking eloquently. God said, here's Aaron. He's my brother. Here's Aaron. Right, he's going to do the job for you, right? So God's going to equip you with your gift to kind of marry up with someone else's gift and your skill and your experience and your passion and your ability. You know, we call that shape. We'll look at that again coming up. You know, we all have a shape. We all have spiritual gifts. We all have heart of passion. We all have abilities that we're good at. We all have a personality and we all have experiences. Well, God takes that all together, sticks it all together, and makes this team that is unbelievable in the power of his Holy Spirit. And it's not about background. It's about Jesus. So here's the funny thing about that. You know what that does? That takes away every excuse, doesn't it? I don't know that. I can't do that. You know, okay, God can. And then here's another brother who comes alongside and I say brother or sister comes alongside, makes it work. How about the next one? Failure is not fatal if we learn and grow from it. On this list, right, of these people, two out of seven, right, failed. Failed bad. But it wasn't a fatal thing. They learned, right? Mark came back and Paul said, man, this guy is profitable. And God even gave him a gospel to stick in the context of Scripture with his name on it. Right? He's powerful. Failure is not fatal. Everybody look up for a second. Don't we think it is? He failed. He did this. She did that. And we want to kind of X them off the list. They can never do anything for God. Wrong. Here's God. And then I want to get this next part, faithfulness. You know what? By the way, here's the question. Faithfulness is a character quality that is timeless. Did anybody in the congregation, anybody feel like sometimes things go too slow? Right? Let's be real, right? If we want to accomplish something, we want to accomplish it fast. I remember one time sitting in a meeting in church, and we had some missionaries, and they're not here right now. But we're like, man, oh man, it has been 10 years, and they're still meeting in their first place. What are they doing? And I heard that from the mouth of more than one Christian. And I'll throw this out. We don't know God's plan, and we definitely don't know God's time. And God's not asking us to judge that, but what God's asking us to do is be faithful. And faithful says, we're going to stick in there. We're going to do what God's called us to do. And whether we get results or not, the results are God's. The faithfulness is mine. I remember another missionary. His name is Harold Beckley. Anybody remember Harold Beckley? And yeah, you have to be kind of up in years to remember Harold Beckley. Because he's in heaven. He's been there a long time. Long time. But he was a missionary in Africa in an all-Muslim country. And I remember having a conversation with him and Pastor Montgomery. He said he could count on one hand the people that he knew that came to Jesus Christ in his lifetime. Not in a week, not in a year, in a lifetime. By the way, he is buried on that field, which I believe is it Mali? Is that right? Where he was. And the faithfulness of him and his wife created a foundation that was built upon by his own family and others, and many, many, many people have come to Jesus Christ. Faithfulness. And I'll throw this out. I read this. I thought this was good. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, and you know how we like to look for talents or abilities? Warren Wiersbe said this word. He said, the most important ability is dependability. And it makes sense. I like that thought. The most important ability, you know, it's great if you can stand on your head, but the most important ability is I know that you're going to be there and you're not going to go anyplace. And I just so appreciate that thought. The most important ability is faithfulness, dependability. When I say it, I do it. I'm going to be there. You know, no matter what happens, unless there's some, you know, providential from God thing that gets in my way. So we want to slide on. That kind of helps us understand things for a second. Now, I want to say something for a second. There's a lot of teams at First Baptist, isn't there? And they're made up of people of all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of issues, all levels of growth. But this team thing is what ministry is all about. Because I thought it's that when we minister together, that's when we grow. We grow when things don't work out. In fact, we grow more when they don't work out than when they do. We're apt to take the credit when they do. We're on our knees when they don't. Right? And that's where God wants us. So, you know, so Paul kind of goes to this point. He kind of gives some reminders about these issues. And I want to take a minute. I just want to kind of recognize for a second right here in First Baptist Church our teams. And I want to give you guys an assignment, by the way. I want you to think about the people that are on your team. And I want you this week, and I'm going to do this too, to send them a text message, an email, a card, a letter. Some of you guys are going, I don't text. You're not out of the way. You still got to do something, right? Send them a letter. Send them something and say, man, I praise God that you're on the team. Fair? Does that make sense? And I praise God for our teams because our teams get things done. You know, our youth ministry team gets things done. Jonathan, I praise God for you. And I praise God for your leadership and your whole team. You know, Richard, Nancy, Pastor Ansu, all people that work with you, Melissa, all the people that just pour into our kids. And it seems like, by the way, that sometimes there's no fruit. But I want to praise God for that team. And I think about our Awana team, right? Jill, Barbara, you know, others who are involved in that team. Sherry DaCosta, been pouring into that for years, right? Praise God for you guys, for your faithfulness to that team, right? That's what we're looking for. You know, our food ministry team, the pandemic, we didn't do anything else in physical capacity. We did it online, but we didn't do anything else. But man, we got people food. And we gave them the gospel, and we gave them hope. And they still understand that now. You know, praise God. Guy, your team, all people. I can name like 1,000 people in the church literally who've done something. Morris and Betty. By the way, Morris, so good to have you back. Morris battling this eye problem, among other things. Betty just so faithful, supporting them, right? Praise God, Morris, that you're back. You know, I can think about Leroy, Richard, week in, week out, doing the job. You know, Carol Johnson, Gordon Johnson, driving, picking up. You know, in a serious way, and Guy and I laugh about this. You know, Tuesday's the day we pick up in Target, and sometimes we literally pray, God, we hope there's no food there. Because you get tired, right? Where's Carol? I don't see Carol. There's Carol. There you go. Gordon, right? Because we know if there's food there, we got to load it, unload it, separate it, and get it back out. By the way, Lori, Chip, thank you guys. When they're here, they're engaged, right? You know, and Chip, by the way, is a doctor. He can say, man, I don't need to do that stuff. I'm doing surgery. But no, he's doing baked beans or he's doing whatever. We praise God, right? That's what the Lord is looking for in these things, right? How about our music team, right? And by the way, you guys, you met during the pandemic. You put, you know, Zoom videos and Zoom choirs together. You meet every week. You've dealt with COVID, I don't know how many times. You know, all these things, right? Cindy, Dennis, all the people right up here in the front. You guys, amazing, right? Praise God for you guys. You know, our tech people. You know, how many times we're like, doggone it, what is wrong upstairs? You know, the Zoom goes down, right? We praise God for you guys because you stuck to the task, right? You know, and again, that's what God's looking for, this faithfulness in it. I want to share one last team. I'm going to give you guys part of an assignment for you guys. We have a group of people in our church, and we call them the GOMs. And you have to ask them what that means. Okay? So, by the way, if you're a GOM, stand up. Come on, Terry. Where's Al? He's hiding. All right, so you guys, ask these guys, what's that mean? But I'll tell you this, we tease these guys a lot, but they get things done. And Dennis, by the way, he's an honorary member, I think, too, isn't he? Right? Carol Bachman, yeah, amen. By the way, what would we do in our church without Carol? To pick up all the mess. And I'll share a little bit about Carol with you guys, and I praise God for her faithfulness. But you know what? With Carol, like, no matter what's going on, when someone calls Carol during the day, it sounds like it's another day in heaven. Good morning. This is Carol Bachman. What's going on? And she's dealt with all the GOMs who I'm a part of sometimes too. Right, she dealt with all of us all day. Whatever else didn't work, the internet's down, everything's blowing up. It's too much work. She can't even accomplish it in a lifetime, probably. But good morning. How are you doing today? Right? And thank you for saying that. But praise God. And by the way, I can't recognize everybody because we'll be here all day. But like the team is so vital. That's what God's trying to do, right? He's trying to build a team here. You know, and we're going to talk about our Good News Brothers. They have been part of the team, doing a lot of stuff that no one even knows about when it had to be done. You know, I pick on Marion and Edna, right? There'd be no garden without Marion and Edna. Awana, all the things that they do in secret, you know, not maybe in secret, but all the things that they do, no one knows. driving people to the airport and other places, hospitals. You know, and I could go on and on and on. That's the body, right? And that's what, because Jesus Christ is supreme over everything, that's who God wants us to be. Amen? Right? And it's fun. But here's the deal. You guys, before you leave after the business meeting, ask these guys, what does it mean to be a G-O-M? Okay? So get that from them. We're going to go real fast. We got to get done. Here's the last thing. It says, and when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, remember, founded by the same founder. Likewise, read the epistle from Laodicea and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. So I want to leave you with a couple of things. Paul closes this thing out, by the way, and here's what he says, and kind of a couple of takeaways. You know what? If we're going to be that kind of team, we got to read the word. And he said to them, when that epistle comes to you, by the way, because the epistle wasn't coming on the internet, it wasn't coming, you know, in a way they could easily consume it. It wasn't bound in a nice Bible like our Bibles. It was a letter like a scroll that came to them, a codex. When that thing came, he said, read the word. Let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly. And he says, and when you go to Laodicea, guess what I want you to do? Read the word. And if you go over Hierapolis, read the word. Meditate on the word. Remind the leaders and followers. Remind them what? Be faithful. Be faithful. And remember your coworkers. Paul said this in the context. He said, remember me. You know why he said remember me? Because I'm in jail. If you forget me, I'm gone. I'm getting promoted to glory faster than I thought. Remember me. But I want to encourage you guys, would you remember the workers in the body today? Remember them? And I'll throw out, I'm going to pick on somebody. Remember Rosemary Atkins today? I mean that. Remember her, right? Remember Anelda Charles. I didn't mention a lot of people. Remember some of these people. Remember them. And I want you to remember these people, right? Remember Pam Rothwell. Remember Priscilla. Right? Joyce. Remember these people. Remember them. All these people that I got their hands on the plow. Judy, whoever else, right? Beverly. Here's why I want to remember them. You know why? Because they're going through stuff in their life too. And even though they serve and they smile like Carol and it seems like everything is just glorious, it isn't. Remember them. Remember they're going through stuff and they need your concern, your care, your love, your encouragement. Remember them. You know, I'll throw out to you guys, we've reached a place at First Baptist Church where I'll use our deacon board. Some people used to be critical of the deacon. Well, how come the deacons ain't doing this? Because they got their own stuff going on too. They're doing a lot. By the way, if the deacons weren't doing what they need to do, our doors would not be open. Our people would not be encouraged. People would be waiting for rides to hospitals or wherever else. They're doing a great job. But I want to encourage you guys, remember that all those workers in this body are living the same crazy life you are. And they need help. And they need your prayer. They need your encouragement, your thanksgiving, your love, your gratitude. So I just want to encourage you guys. Those are three things to think about, right? Read the word. Remind the leaders and the others, too, to be faithful. And let's remember our co-workers. Send them a note this week in one form or another, digital or something else. Let them know, man, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you guys. Amen? Amen. Who would get all that from the greeting? It's unbelievable, right? But like God put that there so we would understand ministries about teams. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for our team. Lord, I pray that you would just work in us as only you can. Knit our hearts together, build us better, make us stronger, make us more like Jesus. Father, may the word of God resonate in us and change us in the power of your spirit. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.